And so looking back to Romans chapter 1, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Literally, by their faith, the righteous shall live. Acts chapter 19, verse 2 says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. This good news, this gospel in your life being lived out is the power of God for saving you. It's the power of God to save every person in the dying world who is going forward into a Christless eternity. Now in Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching after Pentecost, after the sound of a rushing wind caused such a commotion that everyone came out, and as people are sitting there and they're speaking in languages that other people understand, and there's a communication of the awesome deeds of Jesus Christ, and the gospel, the good news of Jesus is being preached, well, listen to what Peter says in chapter 2, verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that there? You believe, change, turn, follow. First obedient act of any believer is to pass through the waters of baptism. That is so simple. You merely have to be inconvenienced, show up somewhere where there's water, and be made wet. Dripping wet, and you'll have to change after that because you're wet, or if it's warm enough outside, your clothes will dry in an hour. Or if you're like Sarah MacArthur, your clothes will dry just right there so quickly because of how hot it is where she is. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Jesus died. That significant part of the story that Paul tells every time he tells the gospel is for us today. Have you died to sin? Have you crucified the flesh with its passions and desires? Have you reckoned the old man dead? Have you had your funeral yet? Have you laid him down, and usually it's into that water, and say, I forsake the works of Satan in my life, my rebellion, my disobedience, my selfishness, my fear, and risen to new life and walked with Jesus Christ. The gospel is the message that your sins are forgiven and that you can have fellowship with God, that the Holy Spirit will dwell in you and your life can be a completely different story from the point you start following and further on. And when you figure out midway, partial way, near the end of your life, when you figure out that I need with God, then that is the time. Christian who's been walking 5 years, be more of the Lord's today. Christian who's been walking with the Lord 40 years, there is more. Yearn for it. Cry out for it. Pray for it. Receive the fullness of God by His Holy Spirit to lead you into what you'll do today after church, what you'll do tomorrow in your life. Your fellowship with God is powerful, and you are to be full of God, and your faith is to be visible. You are to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is a teaching of the Holy Scriptures. But there's a problem in this country. There is a problem in this period of church history. You have been subject to an indulgent phenomena of people exercising gifts out of order and calling that the Holy Spirit. And frankly, this freaks most of us out, people acting wild and out of control and calling that the Holy Spirit. I suspect that that is why many people didn't ask to be prayed for 2 weeks ago. Do you remember that? And I said, anybody who would be filled with the Holy Spirit, come forward and be prayed for. There were no explanations asked, and there were none offered, frankly, except to observe that some did come up for prayer, and others passed up the opportunity. Now, shall I just interpret that to mean that all of us, the ones who came up last week and the ones who didn't, have all been prayed for at some point in their lives to receive the Holy Spirit? As long as you declare to me that you understand these things, and as long as the believers among you agree with what the Word declares, that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, that there is a filling of the Holy Spirit, that we all are called to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the deeds of the flesh, as long as we agree on that, I'm happy for each person here to recognize their means of expression as the Lord leads. It doesn't matter that you have to come up and be prayed for, or certainly it's fine for people who have come to be prayed, or maybe 2 weeks ago you wanted to come up and be prayed for, but other people didn't come up and you stayed in your seat and didn't move. Do we do this? Is this a kooky fringe doctrine? What is this? And frankly, I don't think that there is clarity in the congregation because I don't hear people talking about it. And I hear people quietly discussing, frankly, the mere details of life. Oh, I went here and I shopped there and I do this and I do that. And we have prayer meetings 3 times a week. And I know who attends the prayer meetings. Perhaps they're inconvenient and you work and you can't make it. Where do you pray? Where do you study the Bible? And with whom are you involved in conversations about developing your spiritual life? How are you sharpening each other as iron sharpens iron, so one believer shall sharpen another? How are you practicing to express your faith, to be ready for the opportunity to share your faith with someone who's not part of a Christian fellowship that you already know?